are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRack Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer. I've covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA at large for FanSided and FanRack Sports, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
Heat's seven-game win streak came to an end Monday afternoon when they lost to the Chicago Bulls 119-111. We're going to talk about that game today. We'll get to our spotlight performances of that game, and then we're going to get to some player news later on. But that game, David, wasn't the most entertaining game. The Heat very clearly playing on the second night of the second afternoon, I suppose, of a back-to-back after having beaten the Milwaukee Bucks in quite frankly, a game that was pretty much a blowout. And then this game was pretty much a blowout, but on Chicago's end, the Heat did have a late push. It wasn't enough, though. They were down 19 at one point. They got it to a five-point game with 3 minutes and 8 seconds remaining after a James Johnson three-pointer off a Kelly Olynyk assist. But that was kind of the end of that late comeback. They had a hard time scoring after that. The final three minutes were about as ugly as the majority of that game. Kelly Olynyk goes down the other end, gets blocked by Nikola Mirotic. Then Justin Holiday made a jumper, and it was pretty much after that the Heat couldn't score. Nikola Mirotic hits basically what amount, or was it Lauri Markkanen hit the dagger three? Yes. That basically put the game away with about a minute left, and Miami falls short, and that seven game win streak is over.
Yeah, a pretty disappointing loss, to be honest with you, although not unexpected. I think I said in yesterday's podcast that this felt like it was going to be a kind of a trap game, and it sure proved to be the case, unfortunately. They just looked lethargic to start the game, and there were minor runs throughout the second half where they actually wound up building, what was it, a six-point lead, I think, was their biggest lead of the game.
Yeah.
But Chicago just seemed much more engaged. They shot particularly well from the perimeter. Lauri Markkanen looks like the real deal as a rookie. He finished with just 17 points, but I'll be damned if that didn't feel like a lot more than that. It felt like it was like in the mid-20s with the way he was shooting. For all that James Johnson was able to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo on the previous game, he did not stay with Markkanen as much as we would have liked. Nikola Mirotic just coming in off the bench again continues to shoot at a high level. A number of questionable foul calls. I don't think we ever really blamed the officiating, but there was a number of calls here that just looked really lazy, really sloppy. Mirotic went to the line seven times and knocked all seven of those. He finished 19-20. The Bulls finished 19-22 for the line. I'll be honest, Miami did take 24 free throws. They made 19 of them. That wasn't the difference. It was really just their shooting. They just didn't have the kind of, they didn't have the legs to get into their shots as they have in the past. And Miami's strength has been depth, but with so many players failing to play, to perform at a high level, it's just they were well behind all night and couldn't catch up to a much more engaged Bulls team.
You know, a high scoring fourth quarter in a weird way. I mean, it was the highest scoring quarter of the whole game. Miami had 39 points in that fourth quarter. Chicago had 35 points in the fourth quarter. Offensively, Miami started to get it going a little bit later. Maybe it was just out of desperation, whatever it was. But, you know, when Wayne Ellington started hitting his shots in the fourth quarter, Kelly Olynyk had a big fourth quarter. You mentioned James Johnson. He didn't have a great game. And he was one of those guys that looked tired defensively. And really the whole team looked tired defensively. I mean, look, Miami ended up scoring 111 points. Yeah, it was against Chicago. They're not a very good basketball team, specifically on the defensive end. But they had 35 assists on 40 made field goals. So the ball movement was quite clearly still there. 50 points in the paint. You know, they turned the ball over 14 times, but in the second half, they really cleaned it up. I think they had 13 turnovers at some point in the third quarter. So they cleaned it up towards the end. And that was a good sign. Look, I mean, it was a nice, that's a good push for the Heat to make there at the end instead of just falling away. Like, Miami's never going to give up in a game. We know that now. They play too hard. They're too disciplined to do that. So if you're looking for a silver lining, that's what I guess you could take away from this game. But it was very, like, look, this is, this is a set. It was a 7-game win streak. That is mentally fatiguing. You know, not to mention having to guard the long and athletic Milwaukee Bucks on a weird Saturday afternoon, a Sunday afternoon game, and then have to follow that up with a weird Monday afternoon game. You know, guys are just already out of their routine being able, you know, these guys are used to playing at night, and you might say that's not a big deal, but these guys have game day routines that they follow, and they don't necessarily have game day routines for afternoon games. It's just, they're so rare, right. Not to mention having them back to back, you know what I mean? So, you could give them a break a little bit, in that sense, and for me, look, it was a 7-game win streak. That was a really positive thing for them. Because they've been so strong lately, they could afford a loss like this. Specifically, what amounts to a scheduled loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can only hope that this one doesn't come back to bite the team in the ass at some point down the stretch if they're making a late season playoff push for seeding or something like that. But it's a tough one. I mean, again, it felt like that was going to be the case just because of the weird scheduling conflict and everything else. And it's just a typical game to try and prepare yourself, you know. But I'm not sure I'm quite ready to let the team off the hook either, because there were players there that played at a high level, particularly Goran Dragic. And he seemed like he refused to quit. I know we'll talk more about Dragic later on the show. But he seemed like he was particularly engaged in the fourth quarter, and he didn't, maybe he didn't start off hot. But I think everybody kind of struggled at first, but he just didn't seem to quit. And Wayne Ellington, you could say the same thing about him. Other players, not so much. And the guy that you and I have talked about quite a bit in the last few weeks, Josh Richardson, emerging as potentially the team's best player. Another bad game. He barely broke double figures here. Only finished with 11 points on 4 of 10 shooting.
Weren't all those 11 points in the first quarter?
Yeah, it sure seemed that way.
It was a big bowl, if not all of them, a big portion of those points were in the first quarter. And so, yeah, he struggled. And I thought Whiteside was thoroughly outplayed by Robin Lopez, which is not the first time we've seen that happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get to our spotlight performances next. But first, Locked On Heat still has some inventory for sponsorships this season. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. If you're unhappy with your return on investment with traditional advertising online or in print, try something new in 2018. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers, in our experience, are more passionate and often viewed as experts on topics, trendsetters, the exact sort of consumer most businesses want to target. Our rates are reasonable and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and money. For more information on rates and next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. Spotlight player time. We'll get to our player news about Goran Dragic and Tyler Johnson a little bit later on. So let's get to our spotlight players. David, who do you got?
James Johnson. I'm kind of struggling there because I think the game has lulled me into sleep a little bit. But Johnson's looked like he was taking a nap early on there. Unfortunately, really, really struggled. Again, for all that he showed defensively against Giannis Antetokounmpo the day before, really, really struggled against Markkanen, finished with just 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting, finished with a respectable 2 of 3 from three-point range, although I think those were in the fourth quarter when he finally decided, you know what, it's time to actively play, some defense and try to get this team back into the win column. Finished 0 of 4 from the free throw line, missed 4 free throws. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Just 2 rebounds, had 3 assists, 1 steal, but he looked tired. There was that one play there where Markkanen comes around, curls off the screen, and shoots it from the top of the key. He's wide open, and it was James Johnson. Right, I think this was in the third quarter. I want to say
that's also true. I noticed that. Like that's not and on Markkanen's dagger, it was a very similar play. It was probably the same play that Chicago ran. And you're right. Look, James Johnson looked really tired, and we spotlighted him after the Milwaukee game. And talked about even though he had a really bad offensive performance, he played so well defensively and offensively. At least he was facilitating. He led the team in assists that game. That wasn't the case in this game. Defensively, you're right, he was tired. He just wasn't closing out strong, and that ended up resulting in a couple of made threes, which, you know, if it had gone the other way, who knows? Miami might have been able to steal this game. You know what I mean? So, sure. Yeah, it was a disappointing look from James Johnson, but again, like the second night of a back-to-back after having guarded Giannis from the first quarter to the fourth quarter the night before, or the afternoon before. I kind of want to give him a break, especially because he has embodied that Heat culture so much. You know what I mean? I kind of want to give him a break, but it is rather disappointing.
Look, there was that one screen and roll in the first quarter that I just wanted to like punch somebody because Tyler came off the screen and made the pass to James Johnson, and it just kind of like he watched as it meekly dribbled off his foot, and then he kind of just did this half-assed lunge to the ground to go after the ball. But by that point, I think Chris Dunn was already taking it up the court. I mean, he was just like looking at it like he was doing like a kind of pseudo burpee or something like that. He was on the floor watching as the play progressed 20 feet from him. And he's just like, oh, well, I turned the ball over. What am I going to do? You know, it was just a bad look. From a guy like him who's shown such effort for the past year and a half that he's been in Miami, this was not a good game from him. And I wonder if, you know, maybe this streak, maybe it was hard to maintain. Maybe that's a lot of pressure. Maybe there's a lot of attention nationally from guys like Zach Lowe and others. And I wonder if this is something that affects these kinds of players. And then maybe they don't want that kind of attention. They'd rather toil in the background or something. But and then, of course, the scheduling is a problem as well.
Yeah. And, you know, Anthony Chang, friend of the program, tweeted like three quotes yesterday after Miami or Sunday after Miami had beaten Milwaukee. You know, he quotes in regards to reporters asking the players and coaches about what they thought about the 7-game win streak. And all of them had basically the same sort of thing in response. What win streak?
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like that. So you get the sense that they have been, you know, trying to focus on a game to game thing and trying to ignore that 7-game win streak. But you're right. Like just the act of trying to try to push that down, you know what I mean? And ignore it and suppress the feelings that you have about a 7-game win streak. That takes effort. It takes an effort to ignore it. You know what I mean? And I think that starts, you know, this is a team that, again, that this team won this team won 16 straight games last year. That's hard. That's rare. 7 games is hard. 7 games is rare, especially when you're on the road so much as the Heat have been. This game was on the road. It was in Chicago still. You know, it's the second afternoon of a back-to-back. I really think like this team just looked tired. I think James Johnson sort of, and the reason I think you're spotlighting him is because he embodied that tired look, that just that general fatigue and maybe just disinterest in an opponent as lowly as Chicago maybe. It's just because you're right. You hope a loss like this, like you don't want bad losses to play into things towards the end when it comes to seeding. But one thing we know for sure is that they're not going to be battling for seeding with Chicago this season as opposed to last season when they were battling for the eighth spot, right? Chicago's just not good. They're bad. They're tanking. Right. So all in all, my spotlight player is Kelly Olynyk, just sort of for the opposite reason. I thought he had a pretty bad game for the first three quarters, but then it really came on strong that fourth quarter and was a big reason why Miami got back into the game at the end. 14 of his 21 points coming in that final period. Hit a couple of threes, got to the line, dished out a few assists in that fourth quarter. I mean, he was huge, and that's on a night again when Hassan Whiteside has been struggling and being outplayed by Robin Lopez, the Heat goes small, quote unquote small, right? They're able to go small by playing a 7-footer at center like Kelly Olynyk because of all the things he could do with his perimeter game. And then Chicago matched the Heat and went small with quote unquote small with Markkanen and Mirotić in as their front court guys, and so that was an interesting combination. I thought Kelly Olynyk, you know, despite Markkanen hitting that dagger three and Mirotić always being such a threat from the perimeter, I thought Kelly Olynyk outplayed all of these guys as far as both guys on Miami and in Chicago as far as those big small guys, whatever we want to call them. And I thought he had a really good game, and that fourth quarter was a big reason why Miami was able to climb back in it. But ultimately, it fell short.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Whiteside was so much of. I mean, he wasn't playing as well as Lopez, but Lopez is somewhat underrated. But I don't think he was necessarily horrific. A lot of people are saying that he was really bad, and you know, his plus minus was a negative 20. So he's. You know, he was that was a team low there. So, you know, he obviously didn't play at a high level. But I think he was basically out of the game, as I think Tony Fiorentino alluded to during the broadcast, because there was a five-out unit for the Chicago Bulls. They had so many perimeter-oriented bigs, including Markkanen and Mirotić.
It was a tough matchup for him. I mean, that's why they started James Johnson over Olynyk in the first place. And we talked about that going into this game. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was a tough matchup.
Olynyk played well. I think the outside shot wasn't falling, strangely enough. He was just 1 of 5, but he had a really nice fake going where he was getting to the rim. He had some nice pick and roll movement going on there. He was able to get, you know, and he had a nice fake going too on his jumper, and then he was able to knock down the mid-range jumper with, you know, pretty smoothly. And he looked good, and he looked engaged out there. He didn't look tired. Maybe it's because he hadn't played as much in recent games. So Miami's depth still kind of shone through there, which is that's a positive. Like you said, you know, it's a tough game to find too many positives, but that's one of them. You know, guys like him and Ellington continued fighting till the end there, so that's always encouraging to see.
Well, we're not ignoring the Tyler Johnson injury. He got hurt in that game. We're going to get to that as well as some news about Goran Dragic next. But first, quick reminder, make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review on iTunes to help other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Okay, so Tyler Johnson sprained his ankle in the first half of that game. It looked like a knee injury initially, but it turns out that it was a sprained left ankle. He didn't return to the game. X-rays did return negative, according to the team. We don't know. That's all we know right now. We don't know a timetable. We don't know if he's going to play in the next game. This isn't the first injury that Tyler Johnson had this season, though. Fortunately, it's the first one to his ankle this season. It was his shoulder last time. So Tyler Johnson, I mean, if he misses more time, this could have an effect on what they do. Look, we saw them start. Tyler Johnson is already starting in place of Deion Waiters, who's going to be out for the rest of the season. We saw them start Derrick Jones Jr. in Tyler Johnson's place recently. But Derrick Jones Jr. only has, I think, like 7 days left on his two-way deal. They're not going to be able to rely on him, even if they're able to use him as a short-term substitution here. There's going to be some, depending on how the severity of this injury, we hope it's not. We hope that Tyler Johnson can play for the next game. Who knows? But if it is a situation where Miami has to start looking in other directions and it's not necessarily enough time for Ronnie Magruder to come back, I don't think Justice Winslow can necessarily fill that Tyler Johnson spot, although I suppose Josh Richardson can move over, but the Heat are still going to need some depth. I mean, this could have a significant impact on what the Heat are doing with this deadline that's coming up, the trade deadline on February 8th.
Yeah, undoubtedly. The Derrick Jones situation is worrisome in particular because, like you said, he had been starting there and all of a sudden, you know, today he didn't even play. But, you know, you might wind up relying on him if that's the only recourse for you. So there are other options too. But at this point, Miami, you know, again, they'll have to gauge how Tyler progresses over the next day or two. I would imagine that unless it's a severe sprain, it doesn't seem like he'll need like any kind of a walking boot or anything like that. Although, you know, again, we'll hear that. We'll hear some clarification over the next few hours, I'm sure. It might be a game time situation. It'll depend on whether or not he can practice on Wednesday. And of course, you know, Tyler is a fairly tough guy. He's played through injury before. He's done so consistently throughout his whole playing career, whether at the NBA collegiately or even in high school. So you imagine he's going to try to push there. But with a season like this, you wonder whether or not it'll be better to shut him down for a little bit longer, maybe sit him out a game or two in the hope that he can come back healthily and have, you know, somebody else step up in his absence, whether it's Derrick.
They have to start. Like, this is a year, like you said, like they have to think about the postseason. Tyler Johnson is going to be huge in the playoffs when Miami's going to need a little bit of that variance play. Tyler Johnson's a guy who kind of feeds into that. You're right. I mean, this is like they can't think about 82 games. They have to think about, you know, 86 games or whatever it might be. So
it's not very optimistic, but yeah.
Well, you know, or whatever.
Or you're projecting a 4-game
sweep. I mean, like if they win four, yeah, whatever it might be. So they gotta, you know, they have to think about how this Tyler Johnson is gonna be really important for them in the postseason.
Yeah, Robin Lopez. You know, I blame that one on him, to be honest with you. As much as I like Robin, you know, I think he did something there. I don't know what it was. A very awkward looking play, right? Yeah, it seemed like he was clutching his knee for a long time there, and then. Turns out it was just the ankle, you know, just the ankle. But hopefully he'll bounce back pretty quickly. Well, anyway, some positive news, mention, right?
Yeah, well, we should mention, by the way, that we are recording this minutes after the game. So by the time you guys are hearing this, possibly we might know more by then. So this might sound a little bit more outdated than when we were recording it. But yeah, you're right. Let's end this thing on some positive news. And we purposely saved this for the end. Goran Dragic named Eastern Conference Player of the Week for the second time this season. He's the first Heat player to do that, actually, since LeBron James did it in 2013-14. So Dragic led the Heat to a 3-0 record the week that he was awarded for. He averaged 23 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, while shooting 50% from the field. Also shot 46.2% from three-point range, and led the Heat in points in all those games. And he was awesome. We had talked about it on the show how great he was playing. I was honestly surprised that he won Eastern Conference Player of the Week. I wasn't thinking about Dragic in that sense, just because he's such like a – there's no like – the storyline that's dominated the seven-game win streak was they're doing this without an all-star. They're doing this without like that big-name player. And then lo and behold, Goran Dragic goes and grabs us Eastern Conference Player of the Week award for the second time this season. I mean, that's huge. I mean, now we got to really start thinking, if you're looking at resumes, Dragic is an all-star player, has at least a reason to be considered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got some big support there from an ex-teammate. I don't know if you saw the tweet from Dwayne Wade, but he's putting it out there. Doesn't even need the Player of the Week honors to promote him. He says he deserves a first-time all-star selection. Standing up for his former teammate, probably former and future teammate. So interestingly enough there, Wade coming out and supporting a guy like that. Yeah. I mean, look, there's nobody in the Cavs backcourt to support anymore, not with Isaiah Thomas missing as much time as he did and Derrick Rose playing like garbage. So anyway.
For Jose Hams Calderon, huh?
I'm sorry. You know what? He's been great. He's been quietly great and a big part of what I want to do. Yeah. But no, anyway, I mean, obviously, Goran has been playing at a high level. I mean, we've talked about him kind of slowly building up to something as the season progresses. He's been much more consistent of late. It seems like he has a really great feel for the game as far as what to get other players involved and where to be aggressive with his own shot. And he's got a really nice balance going. And I think that's the most you can ask for. And on a night like tonight, when there wasn't much else to be positive about, his performances was another one of those things, you know, along with the Linux and everybody else's. But I think that he's certainly deserving of the honor. I'm trying. Who else was nominated? Do you know? I mean, no, I don't have the press release in front of me, but
yeah, I don't know. But I mean, he looks in like he's. We've talked about this on the show. He looks like he's in great shape. Finally, for the first time this season, he finally looks like he's in like playoff shape almost. And 22 points against Chicago. 9 assists, 5 rebounds, only had 2 turnovers on that 9 assists. That's a great assist to turnover ratio. He looks fast. He's finishing at a higher rate again. He's back to getting crafty near the rim and being one of the best finishers in the league, and that's been so huge for what the Miami Heat have been able to do and why they've been able to rip off 7 straight games despite this last loss. Well deserved on his part. You can't say enough about Goran Dragic. You just hope that this keeps going, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. But for now, you could send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.